Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Mark chapters 2 and 3. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, they're found on page 2 in your bulletin. We all sometimes say things we don't really mean. Think of how many times, for example, you've been walking along and someone comes up to you and says, "Hi, how are you?" And what do you say? You say, "Fine." Whether or not you're really fine, it's just something that we say. We don't necessarily really mean it. Or consider the example if you're playing a board game like Sorry or Aggravation that involves in the course of play that you knock off another person's playing piece. And so you draw the card or roll the number or whatever the case is and you knock that person off. What do you say? You say, "Sorry," but you're not really sorry, right? No, you just, that's something you say, but you don't really mean it. Just a few examples from everyday life that sometimes we say things and we don't really mean them. There's no ill will or evil intent. That's just the way it goes with those kinds of circumstances. But sometimes there is. Sometimes there is ill will and evil intent. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, widely acknowledged to be the religious leaders of that society, and those who many looked to as being the most pious of that particular society, they claimed that they were dependent on God. They claimed to be seeking God's will. They claimed that they were the ones who really were following God. But they didn't really mean it. They were more intent in focusing on themselves and on their own righteousness, their own piety, their own goodness. And in the process, they twisted God's word and twisted God's law to suit their own purposes. God's purpose for the law and giving it to us, his people, was and is twofold. One purpose was and is for us to see our absolute and total dependence on God, our need for God's deliverance, for God's Savior. God makes it very clear in his word that no one is righteous before God according to their own merits, that everyone is dependent on the grace and mercy of God. No one can make themselves right before God on the basis of their adherence to God's law. Not a single person, no matter how pious they might be. The second purpose for God's law was and is to serve as a guide, to show us a way of life, God's way of life, a way of life that leads to life instead of to death, a way of life that guides us into God's way of goodness and care for others and mercy and grace and justice and love. While we are indeed totally dependent on the grace and mercy of God, God's law can help us also to see how God calls us to live. Put another way, God's law is good. It is good because it shows us our need for a Savior. It is good because it shows us a way of life that is life-giving and a blessing. Again, that is why God gave his law in the first place. But by the time of Jesus, things had become dramatically different. By the time of Jesus, the Pharisees' purpose for the law was very different. Their purpose was to use the law to keep score. It was used to compare themselves to others, to point out their superiority when it came to observing God's laws, as well as the additional laws that they added on. It was used to judge others and ultimately to seek to control others. It really was a sophisticated version of the children's ditty, "I'm more pious than you are, na, 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 na." It really was. That's really what they were doing with God's law. It was bad enough that this twisting of God's law negatively impacted the Pharisees themselves. But you see, they were also leaders of the people, and so they also led many people astray, away from God instead of toward God. And all because they judged themselves to be righteous, at least relatively so, compared to other folks. As much as we criticize the Pharisees, or criticize anyone who has a Pharisaical attitude, and trust me, in the world of religion, there's nothing worse than being accused of having a Pharisaical attitude, I wonder sometimes if we are not more like the Pharisees than we care to admit. I hear it all the time. I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm not perfect, but did you hear what so-and-so did? I know I'm not perfect, but did you see what that really bad person over there did? I know I'm not perfect, but, well, the way I live is better than many people. It is so easy for us to fall right into that same trap that the Pharisees did. Such an attitude does two things. First, it leads to self-righteousness. It leads to dependence on myself, my goodness, my piety, my observance of God's law, instead of total dependence on God. It makes the Savior Jesus sort of optional, or at best, perhaps like a spiritual boost to help us along. Instead of acknowledging that without Jesus, we indeed are lost and condemned sinners who deserve from God nothing except punishment and death. Those are harsh but true words. And such an attitude of self-righteousness is a real turnoff to those who are outside of God's church. It is so sad that we as Christians are often described by those outside the church not as loving and caring and gracious, but rather as judgmental and harsh and holier than thou. We, like the Pharisees, need to repent. We need to repent for all the times we have tried to use God and use God's law to have something up on others, to put on an air of moral superiority, to justify ourselves, to compare ourselves favorably to others, to judge them and to criticize them instead of loving them. Imagine the powerful impact the Pharisees of Jesus' day could have had if they had approached things differently. Imagine the powerful impact you and I can have as we embrace the thought of a well-known saying I'm sure you've heard before, "There but for the grace of God go I." acknowledging that without the grace of God, you and I are also rebellious sinners, bent on doing our own thing and going our own way. Acknowledging that we too are totally dependent on God's grace and mercy. But for the grace of God, you and I are lost sinners. I'm not better than others. My piety doesn't make me somehow superior to those around me. I am totally dependent on the grace of God. And it is truly by grace through faith that you and I are saved. And it is not of ourselves. And as Paul puts it so importantly, so that no one can boast. How will you and I relate to that person who scorns Christianity? Or to that person who has a very public moral failing? Or how about that person who's arrested and thrown in jail? Or that person who is living a lifestyle that seemingly leaves no room for God or the things of God? One way is to rely on our own righteousness and our own sense of moral superiority. The other way is God's way. God's way is to humbly acknowledge, there but for the grace of God go I. And then, with a humble heart, totally depending on God's grace and mercy, God can use you and me. Can use you and me to love one more person for whom Jesus died. One more person whom Jesus loves. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.